Drinking Kool-Aid cameras like I did when I was 9. Cause I like to pretend that I haven't lost the time. In the end, the nostalgia, though it tastes fine, I can only drink a couple cause it feels like a lie. We'd play Halo and we'd lay low in our basement until the sun began to rise. We would go to school but not learn too much, cause it's hard to read when you've got tired eyes. Months go by, the time it flies, past the days that we drink Kool-Aid in the summertime. Years go by, the time it flies, past the days that we drink Kool-Aid in the summertime.
Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. So this is a different stream from what we usually do with the podcast. We usually just focus on Gwent the Witcher card game. We talked a bunch about the Way of the Witcher, and we're still kind of waiting for some of the meta to take place, right? For the things to change. As I've been playing it, I've realized it kind of already is changing. It's refreshing. It's very refreshing. You look at Scoia'tael really getting the moving mechanics, monsters getting just insanely strong right now, Syndicate with poison and everything else, Nilfgaard might be coming back here, Skellige is super strong, Northern Realms, I mean, it looks like it's a really even playing field, and I really like that. I feel like that's really been missing from the game since pre-Master Mirror. It's really been a Skellige top the whole time. Now, monsters did kind of come up there with the overwhelming hunger decks, were really hard to fight. But when you're talking about pro player players, they're going to be able to manipulate any type of faction and cards to win a game, right? It's a saying that just because you spent a lot of money on your tools doesn't make you a good mechanic, right? It's the same thing with any type of video game, especially Gwent. Just because you have all the cards doesn't mean you're a good card player. So you'll see a lot of these pro players, if you watch the last Masters, you see that they're able to take cards and factions and play them like nobody really knows they could have been played. So this is more about when we're talking about up-and-coming players or players who are trying to get into pro, or players that are outside of the top 500, maybe even some in the top 500, some factions can be overwhelmingly difficult to go against. So I think this definitely levels the playing field. So enough about the Way of the Witcher. So a big game came out this week. I think we all know what we're talking about. We're recording this on September 10th at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we got about a day, a little bit less than a day into our first impressions on Cyberpunk 2077. And I've been trying to get opinions from all sides of the fence, and I'm going to highlight a few of those. I'm going to highlight a review that I read recently on the game, and a problem I really think with just the gaming community and culture and review process and just everything. So first, Cyberpunk 2077. You guys have all know what the game is about. I am currently playing it on PC. Pretty high-level computer, but definitely not the best money can buy. I will say some of the initial reactions to when CD Projekt Red released some of the system requirements and recommendations, I feel was a little overblown. The game does look relatively, I'm using that word relatively so I don't get just berated with comments and hate mail, relatively optimized for current level graphics cards. I can't speak to some of the old gen graphics cards, so let's talk about like the 1080 and the Fury X, which were the top cards kind of in the consumer realm at that time. I would say it's pretty well optimized for those cards, the new ones. It's definitely not as buggy, I think, as some people were making it out to be. Now, this could just be my impressions. So if you're having a lot of bugs, it would be great for you to let us know and kind of get a little bit of your information in our Discord and the type of experience you guys are having with it. But on my end, a lot of the bugs appear to be like picking things up or you're in combat and, you know, an enemy will fly across the map for no good reason. Those are type of the bugs I'm having. Now, I'm hearing some players are having bugs where they have to literally crash the game and come back because a quest is unobtainable or can't finish it, whatever it may be, which is definitely a much different bug. I think bugs that make the world go crazy or missing textures and things like that, those are kind of excusable, right? Those are not game-breaking bugs. But bugs that make us crash the game, unable to finish missions, inability to save games, you know, things like that, those are definitely bugs that have to really be visited and talked about. But no, I have not had any of those bugs. Now, granted, I am 10 hours into the game currently. Most of my time has actually been exploring the map and doing side stuff, picking things up, buying and selling, crafting. A lot of what I spent The Witcher 3 on. I have not found Gwent in Cyberpunk 2077 yet. Will I find it? I don't know. But I can tell you, there are a shite load of Easter eggs, and I'm not going to ruin them here. I'm going to do my best to not spoil a thing about this game. So if you are wanting to pick it up, if you are already playing it, or you don't plan on playing it until some of the bugs are addressed and it's more optimized, this stream, this podcast will not ruin anything for you. I'll do my best not even to talk about characters in the game, so you can feel safe listening to this one. So first off, let's focus on a review. You probably have already heard about the review because everyone is talking about it. I don't know who everyone is. Let's say my two friends, right? And it's the review by GameSpot. What a surprise. GameSpot comes through again. And I'm not going to talk about the individual on the GameSpot review because, you know, we want to keep the gaming atmosphere friendly, right? We don't want to create toxicity. Toxicity sucks. It especially sucks when it's involved into a area of space which is supposed to be an escape for millions of us. Granted, this podcaster reviewer, this is her job, which kind of changes things up a little bit. But at the same time, I don't want to make this a space for us to talk negatively about certain people. She became very famous with She became popular with a review she did where one of her remarks was there was too much water. Which I don't know what that means. But let's talk about the Cyberpunk 2077 review. So they actually did a video where it was three different people talking about the game, their first impressions, what they thought about it, the review, because she wrote this review. So there's a laundry list of initial bugs, right? And you're going to have some bad reviews for a title this size. I don't think that is out of the realm, right? Now, the review that I'm pretty sure GameSpot gave Cyberpunk was a 7 out of 10. I think the review system is really stupid. The 1 out of 10, the 95%, things like that. There are a couple people that have some really good review systems. I'll call out ACG, Angry Centaur Gaming, would be someone I would look for on YouTube. He rates everything on like a buy, a wait for a sale, wait for a deep, deep sale, a rent. I forget, that's in place of wait for a sale, and just don't play it. And I think that is a much better synopsis on how we should be going after our games, right? Because at the end of the day, it's our hard-earned money going into these games. And a lot of games, for instance, Cyberpunk 2077, it was $59.99. If you own a PS5, or if you own a new console, the games are going up to $69.99. Now we're talking about, you know, Ultimate Editions that break the $100. I mean, that's a lot of money. It might not be a lot of money to some people, but it's a lot of money to me. And we have to make sure that when we're purchasing our games, because once the game is purchased, you can't return it unless, you know, you're running on Steam and you only play 2 hours of it or whatever it may be. It's our hard-earned money. And if we spend $60 and the game sucks or it's broken or it's filled with bugs, it is just for the community to be upset. So going back to this review, it's about a 40-minute video You can find it. Just put in Cyberpunk 2077 GameSpot if you want to watch it for yourself. She pretty much says in the video, I'm not joking, she pretty much says in the video, from what I'm getting, that she didn't really play it. She's taking time to talk about elements of the game that she just skipped because she thought they were nonsense. For instance, I'm not being interested in the combat. Not fully exploring. I didn't want to do any of the brawling. I didn't mess with half the things in my inventory. I didn't craft. I think I kept the same shirt on the entire time. Just an incredibly lethargic response and review to the game. Now, this could be, maybe she just hates RPGs, which I've watched a few reaction videos to the video. Maybe that is true, but why? Why would you have someone that hates RPGs review this game? Is it like a shock factor thing? Is it like a shock jock thing? You know, people, I don't know if you guys are into sports, but like Skip Bayless, right? Half the shit he says it to just rile people up. Because most of the time, publicity is always good. Whether it's always good. Because people are talking about you. And how many people right now are talking about this review? Tons. So maybe they did exactly what they wanted to do. She even made a comment that, I walked by these two police officers talking about this crime, and it wanted me to intervene and help the cops out, but what happens if I don't want to? You could not have a concise and fair review when you do not play the game the way it's intended to be played. Now, some people will blow through the game, let's say in 25, 30 hours, right? That's possible. If that's the way you want to experience the game, then I think it's fair for you to do that, right? So let's say you play the game for 30 hours and you spent $60 on it. You got about $2 an hour, right? That is your source of entertainment. And that's how I've always looked at it, right? If I walk into a movie, which movie theaters do appear to be dead now, but let's say back in the day we used to walk into movies and you buy the ticket, you're talking $12 to $15, and then by the time you're done with the concession stand, you're talking about $3,000. All jokes aside, but you don't leave a movie theater a lot of times under $20. And that is an hour and a half, sometimes up to 3 hours worth of entertainment. So gaming in its full form it's worth it if you find the right game. You can get a lot of value out of it, like The Witcher 3, I want to say I have 500 to 600 hours out of that game. So just crazy, crazy value. And I, about 75% of that was spent playing Gwent, which is why we started a podcast for Gwent. Not only that, but now we're talking about cultures and diversity. And I know this is a sore subject for some people, so I don't want to make this anything political or... I don't want to go there with it, right? Because we have enough of just crazy rhetoric and crap that's on the airways. And I am not, I'm going to do my best, excuse me, to not be that person. But the incorporation, this is a quote. The incorporation of different cultures and backgrounds is widely inconsistent. From good to inaccurate to downright offensive. We are literally talking about a cyberpunk game. I mean, the game literally revolves around that whole concept. About people just changing themselves and not being themselves and corporate and just everything, right? But this whole... we have to put different cultures and backgrounds in every single video game, and we have to consistently be politically correct, is driving me crazy. And the reason it drives me crazy is because gaming, in my opinion, is a form of art. The people who make the game have a certain reaction they want to have people have, right? It's the same thing with music. A musician writes a song, And let's say 75% of the people that listen to the song don't even listen to the words. You have listened to some of the wedding songs out there. It's like that song's about these two people breaking up. So I don't know why you'd play that at your wedding. But a lot of the times musicians write songs and people will have just completely different point of views on what the song was about. And that's fine, right? That's an artistic impression on how it speaks to you. That's why a Rembrandt piece might not speak to me as much as a Francis Bacon piece might, right? So that's okay. So it's hard to tell gaming creators and writers that they need to have certain things in the game and not other certain things in the game. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to play it. And the review that we talked about, that we're talking about here, it's ridiculous. Because how are you going to give me an honest opinion on a game if you have not played it fully through the way it's intended to be played? RPGs are about exploration. They're about NPCs. They're about dialogue. They're about crafting. If you look in the Cyberpunk 2077 skills, without spoiling anything, there are so many different ways you could tech your character. So many different ways. The way I prefer to play games is usually lots of stealth and lots of science, lots of crafting, right? That's my style. Your style might be the big, badass, huge dude with the humongous weapon that hits for 1,000. And that's perfectly fine too. But how do you review a game when you've not played it the way it's intended? And my other problem is these people, they're so quick to get a review out on something so they can just be the first person. Because when you go on a webpage or you go on YouTube, you know, you type in Cyberpunk 2077 review, right? And if you're not, you know, the first person that gets it out is usually going to have the most views, right? But it's just, I don't know the correct word. But you have to give something ample time. You have to let it simmer, right? You have to play the game from start to finish. You have to do the things that us as gamers are going to do in the game before you can come out and write me a review. So this whole thing of people just writing reviews to get them out, it's driving me crazy, especially when they don't even play the game all the way through. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you whether the game is good, it's bad, because I've only played 10 hours of it. But what I can tell you is it currently lives up to the hype when it comes to the atmosphere, the storyline, the crafting system. If you were a fan of The Witcher 3, those elements shine through in Cyberpunk 2077 with a lot of other really cool things that come into play. It also has this, now I know it's not the first game that has done it, but Mass Effect, it has like this grainy sci-fi film to it. This has the same thing. This is the first thing I could think of when I started to play Cyberpunk, which, what was that Mass Effect film to it, that grain, you know, that theatrical video, whatever you want to call it, right? Lens. Some of my other impressions so far with the game is I'm a little upset with CDPR, mainly for streamers. And when we got the game, we weren't allowed to stream it until it was out worldwide. And that drove me a little bit crazy. Because they wanted everyone to get a fair chance to play it. Well, what is the difference? What is the difference between 5 hours? How am I going to ruin the game for somebody in 5 hours? And even if I was going to ruin the game, why would you go looking for content if you're trying to go in blind? When this game came out, or when this game was being talked about and stuff started to come out, we actually started to see like first impressions. I didn't like watch half of it, maybe more than that. I didn't watch any of it because I wanted to go in blind. I knew about the different storylines you could do. we knew about Keanu Reeves and being in the game. We saw the little intro video, right? But outside of that, ain't nothing else. Nothing else I've seen. So that kind of upset me a little bit with the game. It also does appear, and just talking to some people in the Discord and reading some stuff online. Also, we don't always believe everything we read on online, right, people? Have we heard about reliable sources? Well, that's a topic for a different, that's a topic for another day. The game does not appear to run even remotely acceptable on older consoles. And that is completely unacceptable if that is the case. Because we get down to talking about the way our money is being spent. So there's a lot of things with CD Projekt Red and whether there was crunching and forced overtime and what type of culture does that create and all that stuff, right? But how can you release something? Let's say it is true. Let's say that the original Xbox Ones and PS4s could not run this game over 30 frames. Well, let's not say that because that's kind of what they run them at. But let's say the game is almost unplayable. How could you release a game that is unplayable on a console? Knowing that it is not, it's not a satisfactory experience. That is unacceptable. Why not hold the game back for consoles? Or hell, make the game only playable on new consoles, right? I know that takes a whole bunch of people out of the realm of who can buy your game because, let's be honest, PC gaming, it's popular, but it is not the main gaming market. I mean, console's not even the main gaming market, to be honest. The fastest evolving, most lucrative gaming market is mobile. As much as we don't want to hear that, that is the truth. The amount of money that is made on mobile games these days would blow your mind. Which is why Blizzard tried to make a Diablo mobile, and I think they're still doing it, and they got so much flack for it. But to be honest, that is where it's going. Look at Hearthstone. I mean, we're not even talking about, like, so we're talking about, like, Hearthstone and Gwent as a mobile game, but we're not even, those aren't even the games that make the most money. It's those crappy mobile game commercials you see. How much money those games make? It's just crazy. So PC gaming is not, it's not the most lucrative market. So I understand why they are forcing games onto consoles and why they want to release games on consoles so quickly. But if the game is not playable or not enjoyable, let's say that unenjoyable because the console cannot support it, don't release it. And if that is the case, I mean, it changes my opinion on CD Projekt Red a little bit. Because I used to sit back and say that Blizzard was the only gaming company left of the AAAs. I was like, they will release it when it's done. They will not screw us over. And I mean, they've done all sorts of stuff like that recently, but then it was all about CDPR. Have they done the same thing? Has the business of just making as much money as possible, has that bled into CDPR as well? I will stand back without forming an opinion for sure, because again, we got to let things play out. But anyway, so far with Cyberpunk 2077, I can tell you the bugs, for the most part, are not game breaking, at least in my experience. I am running the 5800 XT series, which at the time of speaking is the... Well, you can't even get the graphics card anymore because you can't get graphics cards anymore. But that was the best card before, for AMD, before the new 6000 Radeon series came out. It can run it in 1440 at Ultra with 60 frames per second. And that is the card I am currently using. And I have not seen that, like I said, I have not seen that many glitches. I'm running a Ryzen 5, so I'm not even running a top-of-the-line processor, but you don't need a top-of-the-line processor. I'm running on an M.2 Samsung Pro Series, so I am running on probably one of the best hard drives you can get. And I am running about 32 gigs, I think 32 gigs of RAM. Am I running 32? I don't even know. Yeah, 32 gigs of RAM. So the game, it runs well, and I'm playing on a 165 hertz monitor at 1440, and like I said, I have not had crazy issues. The sound quality so far when it comes to music, it's a little bit of a mix, at least going into the game. I did realize when you get in your car, you can change the radio, like in Grand Theft Auto, so there are different genres of music that you can listen to, which I won't ruin those, but you do have that ability. And the sound effects appear to be really good as well. Now, there has been some audio clipping and things like that when things start to render incorrectly, but so far audio has been very good. It doesn't look like the most streamable game because it asks for a lot. And from what I'm hearing on some of people that have some of the higher end RTXs, like the 3080, they can't even hit 4K at 60. But no one's really going to be gaming in 4K for the most part. That is still ways away, I think. Even when we were talking about that 3 years ago, I think that's still ways away for just a card that can consistently hit 60 frames at 4K resolution with every game that comes out. It could be an optimization issue, could be a couple other things, but it's really impressive how much stuff CDPR has crammed into this game. I mean, when you go into Night City for the first time during the day, you'll kind of understand where I'm coming from. There is no copypasta here. It doesn't look like there is. If there is copypasta, they did such a damn good job, I can't tell it's copypasta. Everything looks like it's where it's supposed to be, and nothing is replicated. There are some advertisements I've noticed. You kind of get the same advertisement. But yeah, it's a vast world. Like I said, 10 hours in, but it appears to be a pretty vast world where things are not replicated consistently through the game. So with 2077, I would say, if I was talking to a friend, I would say pick it up, especially if you're interested in it for PC, for sure. I have no problem telling you that you should go spend your hard-earned money on the game, because what you are hearing for PC players is not realistic, that the game is unplayable. It's not true. The reviews so far, as long as I've been looking at Metacritic, were in the low 90s, 90, 91, which would be very impressive for a game. Cyberpunk 2070 has already beat the Twitch record for the most concurrent viewers of the game at one time, I think. They broke the top 10, I think, for followers. I'm not trying to remember what it was. But so the response on Twitch has just been fantastic. There were people streaming the game before you were allowed to, which was, I don't know how that all works, but. And there is a setting in the game as of a streamer you have to hit called streaming mode, which it will mute out the copyrighted music. So you do not get DMCA'd, which I'm not going to get started on that. But yeah, so that is essentially my feelings right now on Cyberpunk 2077. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks and months as more bugs start to come out, more people start to talk about the game, more patches come out. I know both NVIDIA and AMD released day one patches, or day zero, whatever you want to call them, patches for their graphics cards to help optimize their graphics cards for the game. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens over the next couple of weeks. We also know there's a multiplayer mode coming out, which could be really good. I'm not too sure how it's going to work, but it could be really good. And I don't think they have an ETA on that yet. Hopefully, if you pre-ordered the game through GOG and you are a Gwent player, there are a lot of cool Gwent things you do get. One especially being a card back in the Gwent game, which is gorgeous. It's gorgeous. But otherwise than that, yeah, that is my just quick recap on how I feel about Cyberpunk 2077. We are going to start shooting for multiple episodes a week now that the podcast continues to grow. We hope to get a couple big name players on the stream as well to talk about Dex and the new Way of the Witcher stuff. I know I'm going to be getting back into it more than I have recently, because I feel like it's just a refreshing meta to come back. But there are just so many games out. It is hard. It is hard to play one game right now. Like, it really is. So, guys, I wanted to thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you enjoy the little bit of an off episode on the topics we usually talk about. If you guys like the content, please remember to hit subscribe in your podcast engine of choice. If you were like, dude, this episode sucked, don't ever do an episode by yourself again, let me know in Discord so I can make sure it doesn't happen again. Or I can just kick you and pretend like it never happened. But anyway, guys, thank you again for joining us. I hope you guys all have a fantastic day. And go play some video games, especially Gwent. And for the love of God, go buy Cyberpunk 2077. But I'm not going to give you an honest review yet.